go live.
Yes, I do.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. It is 5 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Penrod here. Crowder.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on July 11th. Nicole, do you have any changes or corrections?
I did not.
I had two that I gave to Rosie and Sally. I don't know if you got the message, but one was under Matt's report that we had to lower the bather load. And then also under my report that the first task force is spelled with two S's. Besides that, I'll make a motion we approve with the noted changes.
Second.
Motion second. Sorry. Further discussion. That's okay. Further discussion. All those in favor should be raised your sign. Nicole and I approve.
And
Walt abstains. Next up is bid opening for force main replacement. Rosie.
We have one bid, S&S Directional Boring. Total bid price, $1,687,573.
Okay. And we have no other bids?
No.
Okay. We will take that under advisement and potentially award, I'm guessing, at the next meeting, maybe. We'll see. So we will do that. Okay. Thank you. Next up is road closure for Van Buren Flats. Neil, I'm assuming that's why you're here. Come on up. Did anybody turn on the microphone?
No.
Okay. Chip, I'll do it for you. You wouldn't mind coming up to the...
Yeah.
You may not have to. I'll just make sure I ask questions. Okay, so your request is to install, to block off some of the parking stalls there along Van Buren Street on the westbound lane, to the north of the westbound lane there, for an installation of a rooftop, I'm assuming, heating or cooling unit?
Yep, both.
Both heating and cooling unit, okay. Okay, and that's on August 3rd. Is that a, let's see, let me answer that. Do you know how long that's going to take?
Hour or less.
An hour or less, okay.
Okay. Neil, N-E-A-L.
He's up. Any questions for Neil or about the project?
No.
Okay. I'll make a motion we approve the street closing permit request as presented.
Second.
Motion second. Or further discussion? All in favor should be raised your sign. It is unanimous. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Next up is amendment number 3 for the 100 South Sewer Extension. Chip.
So this is for, the county wanted, which I agree, wanted a project manager inspection service, so that's all this is construction services and a project manager, which will total $150,700.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that gets rolled into the total cost
correct.
Of the project. So for, well, for your information, because it's come up at council, but also Nicole for you. So this project is a County Redevelopment Commission and City Partnership project. So at council tonight, there's going to be an interlocal agreement. There is an interlocal agreement on the agenda, and it basically will state that we're taking the project and splitting it 50-50. They're going to fund the whole project, and then over the next 20 years we'll pay them back based on the proceeds of the users in that area. So effectively the goal, it really encourages them to fill that area with the businesses and stuff that they're trying to get for the industrial park, because then they get paid back quicker, because then we have more sewer dollars coming in and we can pay them back quicker. But in any case, so the preliminary engineering, we paid for that portion, but for the inspection services and the actual construction of the project, that's what they're going to fund fully, and we're splitting 50-50, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, anything else you want to add, Chip?
No.
Okay. Any questions?
What exactly was this?
Oh, yeah.
This is for inspection services for 100 South. And just for notation, it's for 100 South on the other side of US 30. It's
okay.
Basically past Sail Right and Triad Mills. But the middle place.
Yeah.
So it's basically from there and goes down toward 300. And so it's basically the engineering and the construction of that face, that piece.
Down if you will. At the end of the road?
It goes down, yeah. So it'll go 100 South to the east, down to 300, and Chip,
yes.
There's a lift station at 300 that it's dumping into, or is it dumping?
We'll be constructing a lift station at 300
and
100.
So, and then those will be connected to the rest of the system that's already out there. That makes sense?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions regarding the agreement? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that we approve the amendment number 3 to the agreement between the City of Columbia City and West Florida for the 100 South Sewer Extension Project.
I'll move.
Okay, I'll second. Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Next up is a retroactive emergency street cut permit for 815 Valley River Drive. When this came in, I was at the Indiana Conference of Mayors. But I believe that Rosie/Sally handled this, correct? Mm-hmm. You want to talk at all
Chip.
About that?
Oh,
Chip handled it?
Chip handled it.
Wow.
They
tried to bury the cable that was on the ground, or what?
Yeah, it's okay. Laid out on the ground right now, and they need to bury it. It goes across multiple streets.
They have yet
to start, though.
Oh, so it was an emergency request that hasn't been done yet.
Correct. Like
okay.
All emergency
so
requests.
Therefore, it's no longer retroactive in approval.
Yes.
They said they'd finish it in 2 days, but I'm assuming that's from start, not from when it was. Okay.
Yeah, it was on fire. It was bad. And then they haven't done anything.
And clearly not on fire enough.
Yeah.
Tom, not really on fire.
That's sarcasm.
The proverbial on fire. Any questions about this? Is it all in the right-of-way?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Any questions?
No.
Okay. I'll make a motion we approve the permit to cut in curb streets or alleys for QC Communications at 815 Valley River Drive as presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, so then the next thing on our agenda is the changing and, I guess, overhaul of our, speaking of that, right-of-way / street cut / sidewalk cut permit application. So I don't even remember exactly how this got started, but between Rosie and Kelly and I and Chip as a part of that, we really started looking at, okay, what are other communities doing? What is the time involved from our staff members? What's the time involved from, you know, Rosie's office of you know, putting the paperwork around and getting it on the agenda and making sure that they're following up and following through with, hey, they're going to, you know, dig up the street and, okay, now we got to make sure they put it back correctly and all those kind of things. I think you reached out to other communities, right?
Yeah. And what happened was there was we were trying to eliminate all these street cut permits having to come to Board of Works. I reached out. I got a copy of the counties and a few other ones. And a couple of them asked, why don't you charge for any of this? So we added a fee, and then Chip and Kelly kind of made it what they thought Chip could approve and the others Kelly would approve. And then there's certain restrictions that would actually have to come to Board of Works. So we kind of redid this form a little bit to try and eliminate such hassle with all these.
Yeah, so it really came down to, okay, so for like that last one, for instance, they're going to be completely in the right-of-way, in the grass right-of-way. There's no real safety function there. There's no issue with that outside of someone maybe tripping over the cable or in a hole, right? But it's not ripping up hard surface, no curb, no sidewalk, no street, no asphalt, no alley. And so I think between us, we kind of said, okay, does every single one of these permits, and you think about every gas permit that's came across here, every fiber cut that's came across, right? If they're going to be consistently in the right of way, but in the grass area, are those things that really need to come in front of the Board of Works for approval? So I think it's the thought of Jeff and Kelly and Rosie and I that we divert, if you will, the non-hard infrastructure permits through our community development director, and the rest of the hard permits, if your hard infrastructure permits, go through Kelly into the Board of Works. And that in order to compensate, if you will, for the time and materials and everything else that we have to do when we get those cuts, that we create a permit fee for the non-payment of $40 flat, and then for concrete asphalt curb cuts to be $100. And actually what we found, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of other communities are charging significantly more than what this fee schedule is.
Same.
And it's funny how many people are actually charging fees that and we are the outlier by not currently charging fees for that, because again, it does take time and effort to monitor the projects and things like that. So of course, any fee schedule and change in the ordinance obviously has to go in front of council, but the actual process itself of approving these or diverting them through community development or whatever needs to come in front of Board of Works for approval. So that's really why it's in front of us.
I think it's a great idea to split the duties because they're at two different levels. But I think if I remember right, what stirred this was several years back prior to Chip coming on board was fence. Where does the fence go?
And oh, in the like easement, those
right.
kind of things?
And that's where a lot of the questions came from. Mm-hmm. The neighbors wanted to put a fence up, but nobody knew where they needed to put it. So it sounds like with this process, we have a couple of people looking at it together.
Sure. Yeah, and again, I just think it comes down to, the vast majority, as you remember, the vast majority of the permits that come in front of us are from NIPSCO, QC Communications, BSM Communications. I mean, while sometimes it's the residents, the vast majority of times it's companies that are putting in more infrastructure in the right of way, or they're doing those kind of things. And frankly, I think we, to say it fairly, we kind of struggled a little bit with what the fee should be for hard infrastructure. And the reason for that is because we know there's been times where they've came back and they've put the things in correctly and they've done it the right way. And there's been other times where they have just thrown some cold mix into a hole and called it good. And then we find it later, right? And so trying to figure out what that sweet spot is of what can we at least recoup our cost if they don't do the right thing, but also manage for the time and effort that's a part of that and be fair about it and all those kind of pieces. So
there's currently a time trap, for example, like O'Brien, Jackson Center, just west of Marshall Avenue, a contractor went replaced the sewer line and went through the sidewalk and curb out in the street, clear across the other lane, and the contractor that did the work hasn't
came back
all that yet, and that's been a year ago.
No.
Rosie, I think, was reaching out to them as a contact. But at some point, you're going to have a contractor fix it and send them a bill or something.
Yeah.
But, that's part of that.
Well, and again, I think this provides a little more skin in the game for those companies to ensure, and others, by the way, to ensure that they're going to come back and they're going to fix it, right? I mean,
As you'll note on the front of the actual permit, it says the following support documentation is required for submission. Detailed description, detailed map, duration of the project, all the things that we always are usually asking questions about. So page 21. So anyways, long story short, is trying to figure out a better, more streamlined way of doing this, but at the same time making sure we're recouping our cost on behalf of our utilities and on behalf of our street department and other things. So Rosie, you just need an approval of the actual form and process, or
yes.
What? Okay.
And then to forward it on to the council for the, there's an ordinance for tonight.
Yeah. I need a motion to approve the form and the new process.
I'll make a motion that we approve the right-of-way street cut sidewalk cut permit application form and process for obtaining that street cut right-of-way and sidewalk cut.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? Okay, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. We will pass that on to council. Okay, we'll do bills next.
Okay.
So I will turn that over to Nicole.
I will make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $820,740.25. From the allowance of accounts payable vouchers dated 7/25/23, and the payments were made with checks.
Second. Motion and second. And further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable vouchers in the amount of $91,485.07 from the allowance of accounts payable vouchers dated 7/25/23. And these are EFT payments.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I'll do the payroll next. I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $292,808.67 plus overtime in the amount of $8,875.17 for the pay file ending 7/14/23.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
And I'll make a motion that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $3,008.38 for meter deposits and credits for July of 2023 from the allowance of accounts payable vouchers dated 7/25/23.
Second.
Motion second. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Yeah. Eden, you want to start us off with what you've been doing?
Yeah, sure. Mayor's Roundtable's on Friday, so we've been getting all the stuff collected for that. Saturday at the pool, we're having our Jaws movie showing, which will be fun. Finished all the scanning. It's all done. So that was fun. Yeah, kind of it so far.
I appreciate, this is Eden's last week, so I appreciate all the work she's done for our office. She's helped a lot with our Summer in the City program, and she has scanned literally every file in my office, which is pretty incredible because I'm a hoarder. Not to mention helping out with lots and lots of other things. So appreciate your efforts, Eden. Chip.
Community Crossings grant was submitted Friday, and pre-bid for 100 South is next week, so we're getting ready to get things moving on it.
Questions of Chip?
No.
What was the Community Crossing one?
For Community Crossing grant.
For Westgate.
Westgate Phase 2. Thank you. Sean.
So last week, AAP informed us that as of September 21st, our 34.5 kV line feed number 2, which is the one that feeds to our north substations, will be permanently disconnected, and they will begin the process of upgrading us to a 69 kV conversion. This project's been in the works for I've been here 23 years, and it was 10 years before me when they first started talking about this project. So it's been a long time in the making, and a lot of the things we've done in the last 5 years have gotten us prepared for this conversion. So basically, if you remember, we have two feeds from AEP, both at 34.5 kV. They're going to de-energize the northern feed, start rebuilding to 69 kV. When that's up and running, we will then de-energize our north substation, switch it over to 69 kV. All the work we need to do there will be done in about 2 weeks, is what it's going to take to convert that. Then it will be re-energized at 69,000 volts. So it's a big improvement to the area. As you all have seen, the work the AEP's done in the area, new poles everywhere. We are going to be radial fed for a short period of time, which just means we have no loop. But it's all brand new wire, brand new poles, brand new relays, switches, everything. So I don't foresee any issues with that. That will there. Start us in our conversion process as well, which we've already approved a PO for Spectrum / Intrust Engineering. I believe we signed a PO for almost $180,000 in engineering to do this. And I have a meeting with them next week. We have a contractor that's going to do all the conversion and substation work and all of that. I got a meeting with them next week to start talking about timeline. So. Excited, but obviously a little bit about shutting down half of our system. So,
yeah,
a lot of work ahead for us on that.
You said when do they anticipate that?
September 21st is when they plan on de-energizing,
okay.
And then originally the plan was to be energized at 69 kV on that line by October. Now they're saying supply chain demand delays, things like that. It may be November before we come back up to 69 kV. So the
nice thing is they're taking into consideration load, first of all, with
correct.
All the air conditioners running right now.
Correct.
But also that once the snow flies, we get a little bit tenuous there as well with ice storms or snowstorms that come through. So
correct. And in our industry, load has shifted its nature and back in the day, it was always winter load was always higher than summer load because everybody had electric heat.
Yeah.
These days, nobody survives without AC. So our summer load is now our bigger load.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone to natural gas for heating in a lot of new homes, most new homes, almost all exclusively. So the winter load isn't quite as significant as the summer load. So they've pushed it off until fall for us, which I do appreciate, but. That's the plan right now, and hopefully within 6 weeks we have all three substations converted over to 69 kV.
I'm going to ask a dumb question.
Go ahead.
My dumb question is this. So if we would happen to drop the AEP feed.
The single feed
we have. The single feed
correct.
That we would have. We know that there are times in September, October that we can have a fairly decent sized, power load happening. So my question is, though, having the solar park, does that continue to keep power running through our system, at least in temporary time period?
Unfortunately, no, because there is a safety component there where if we lose all of our feeds to town and my linemen are out working on lines and that solar field kicks on,
sure.
Transformers go both ways.
They'll
transform voltage from 120 volts to 7,000 volts just as easily as they do from 7,000 volts to 120.
Mm-hmm.
So if that solar park kicks on and one of my guys is working it, assumingly dead, that's a safety issue.
Gotcha.
So that's why we have all of our grounding and things like that we need to do. And
but,
the solar park has.
Yeah, I was going to say, but to that point, though, the amount of energy that we generate from the solar park actually offsets the amount of power we have to get from AEP.
Thank you. Yeah, and one of the things... We're getting about 25% of our maximum load. So maximum load, just real quick, what they do is they take a 15-minute period of every day, every minute, every time. It's the most energy you use in a 15-minute period, which is generally around 5 o'clock when everybody's getting home from work. Everybody's turning on their stoves. Everybody's turning on their air conditioners down, everything else. When families get home, that's your maximum load. There's still enough solar online that we're actually getting like KW, which, you know, we may pull 20 KW as a city. Mm-hmm. 16 is our average. Well, we may get 4 KW out of that solar panel. So that's really helping our transmission load. So that project is, we're seeing other benefits that we didn't foresee, basically, and that's one of them there, is at 34.5 KV, we're pushing the limits of our transmission lines.
Uh-huh.
At 69,000, basically, if you're an electrical engineer, you double your voltage, you cut your amperage in half. Mm-hmm. So now our lines have to be half the size. So we don't have to do any reconductoring or anything on our lines because they're doing the 69 kV conversion. So that's one of the side benefits of this project.
Sure.
I know that, but AAP doesn't have to carry this 34.5 transformer anymore. That only if you know,
actually manufacture.
Use, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So yeah, that's kind of one of those side benefits of the project, but... So other than that, what else are we working on? Bowen Center, we buried conduit all the way to the building. We've got rope pulled in. We're ready to pull wire in that facility. I have the transformer in, which is amazing. I've already started looking at, you know, we talk about some of these other projects coming. I reached out to, you know, the Mission 25 project and tried to get voltage and try to get amperage and try to get something because it's almost 2 years to get a transformer now.
Yeah.
So... if I don't get it coming quickly, they're waiting for a year to have power. So hopefully, and I don't know if you read, Congress passed a bill with $1.2 billion going towards the supply chain for electrical equipment.
I did not.
And they have also agreed to back off some of these DOE standards, Department of Energy standards for transformers, which was going to make... we're competing for steel with these battery companies right now is what we're doing. They've agreed to back off some of the standards that were supposed to increase, which was going to make it even more difficult to obtain transformers. They've backed out off of that as well. So hopefully that has a positive impact on the supply chain issues we're having in the electric industry because, I mean, just random stuff can take over a year and a half to get in.
Yeah.
And it makes it very hard to manage inventory. For sure. Also, Monday, the 17th of July, we had a truck, semi-truck, hook onto an overhead line and pull a pole down. We had 1,200 customers out of power. Within a half an hour, we had 1,000 of those back on. Shout out to my guys. One of the things we've really worked on is locate the problem, contain it, get everybody else back on that you can. Now let's go fix the problem. In years past, it was just go to the problem and fix it, and if it took 12 hours to get everybody back on. So we had 1,000 to 1,200 back on within a half an hour or 45 minutes. The other 200, unfortunately, were out about 5 hours, but we had to completely replace two poles and all the lines and everything. So huge shout out to my guys for their work that day. We were down two linemen, journeyman lineman that day. Mm-hmm. So you had me running around like an idiot, looking like I hadn't done it in 10 years, which I haven't. So being a groundsman or whatever. So huge shout out to them for their awesome work on that. And also I had to bring up, we are losing probably our best young apprentice, Eli Stanglin, has turned in his letter of resignation. He was our IMEA Apprentice of the Year. Very, very good person, very good lineman. But he's going to go to AEP, and within 6 months, he's going to be making what I make. So he's starting at the bottom and making what I make. So, you know, it's hard to blame him if he thinks he's doing what's best for his family, but it just hurts knowing what we've poured into this kid and how much we like him and he likes us. And so ultimately, I think we have done a lot to address that issue, but there's more, I believe, to do. So we can discuss that at any point, but at this point, I'm going to ask for permission to go out and try to replace another lineman.
I'm okay.
Yep, good.
Okay. Other than that, just day-to-day operations.
Questions of Sean?
No.
Thank you. Mike?
Our CSO 19 project is completed now. Seating control is all done. The engineer, I talked with them today. They are putting together the final paperwork there will be a change order that will be coming on the project, the only change order, and that was will be for the inspection work that was done when they put the concrete in. I made them tear it out and redo it. I had inspection service come in for that to make sure it's done right the second time. So there'll be a change order, which will be a deduction off the end of the contract. The contractor will pick that up. So we'll have to go through the change order first, approve that, and then we'll have a pay application that's coming. And I think the only thing will be after that is after we have a final would be a release of retainage at the end. The CSO number 5 over here on Washington Street, they noticed the weirs in there that were made out of wood, were deteriorated, and which I've been here for over 30 years and we never replaced them. So they went in there, used their service truck to get a strap around those and pull those because they couldn't get them out by hand. So they pulled all those out and they replaced them with composite timbers, which was an idea they come up with, is putting that in there. So those will probably never have to be changed again.
Yeah.
So that worked out really well. I was impressed with the work they done, the idea they came up with themselves, and they've done a fantastic job on it.
Great.
And then just another shout out for the guys. The EQ sampler, the brand new one, is designed, it just sits on the concrete structure down there. Well, they want to be able to take it and put it away during the wintertime when we don't use it. So they built a stand in-house out of aluminum. Parts they got out of Fort Wayne, and they mounted that sampler to this and then bolted that to the concrete so it can't go anywhere during winds or storms or anything. But then they just take off four nuts, go in there with the forks, pick it up, drive it, and set it inside the building.
Gotcha.
So that's something they came up with. They're on their own, designed it, built it. So, yeah, I can't say enough of the things they do like
that's
that.
Great.
Just, they do a fantastic job. That's all I got for right now.
Okay. Do we have an idea what the estimate was supposed to be for?
I believe last time I talked to Greg, I think he had it at 1.7.
Okay.
After we'd done the other work, so
so it's on par.
So hopefully we're doing well.
Okay, good. So. Thank you.
Yep.
Questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. I'm assuming that the gentleman in the back was the contractor.
He is the owner of Best Nest.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I figured because he left right after it, so I was like, well, that must be the one bidder. So, okay. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yep.
Mike.
We did get our permit for the 205 project. That was this morning we got that through. But we're going to have to get an engineer to do down 200 because we're going to have to jack and bore and put a casing through there.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I've already been told that there we did have to have a casing, and that's a little beyond me.
Is that from... from NDOT?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I had him on the phone. I figured I'd better ask him.
Okay.
Second thing is, right now we're working on that catch basin, putting a catch basin
Blue
up
River
at what street is it?
Blue River Drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully, it doesn't show anything at the end of the year, or whatever after using it.
Okay. Questions, Mike? Thank you, Matt.
Getting ready for soccer and football season. Soccer shots out of Fort Wayne. They have 10 at most kids that come over. They're smaller, 4 to 6 years old, and they are over at Eagle on just ground that they can find because of soccer and football practices going on, and they're trying to teach the little kids how to do it. So. Concession stand trailer got broken into on 714. They stole about $400 worth of candy, and how they got in was the back door has a glass, and they threw a rock through it.
Cool.
So sounds like the police though are pretty much on their trail. So it's a good part. We did receive the keys to the new office, so we just have to turn them over to Terry and make a plan with that so we can move in November. And then the guys put up a split rail fence with the help of the water department at the corner of Vine and Walnut so we can keep the neighboring people out of a certain property.
Leaving the trail going on to an individual's property.
That's it.
Questions of Matt?
No.
Thank you. Tom?
Jacob Johnson started on the 15th. Things are going well. So far, he's enjoying it, and we're enjoying having him here. This Saturday, Troy Nethel Camp starts. Anxiously awaiting for that to happen and get him underway for his training as well. 4-H Fair went without any incident this year, which is a really good thing. So hopefully that continues in the future. And then I was informed today that I guess we have another company coming in to do some boring around town. Mediacom, I guess, is going to be putting in.
That's news to me, if that's the case.
There's 75% of overhead. I've filled out 100. How many? How many permits or applications we filled out? They're going to do some boring, but a lot of it's going to be under overhead.
Good. Because again, today we had another bore strike into a gas line, which don't sound like that big of a deal until it infiltrates a house or something.
And mm-hmm.
So we, yeah. Hopefully it goes without incident.
Yep. Questions of town? Thank you. Mayor, Kelly.
Our concrete guys have a 50-50 sidewalk application. They completed last week. Did a good job on that. We had a pre-construction meeting for our community crossings project with Niblock and A to Z last Friday. Niblock is anticipating starting center lines, stop bars, things like that on streets, and I think they have some turn lane arrows and things like that to complete yet. B&M seals coating will be in to do downtown parking areas, crosswalks, things like that, railroad crossing should be done very soon. We will be working on turn that into Purdue and get a certificate. We have to have that by December for next year's community crossing projects. And then Quessy Sewer, force main out in Quessy that they're going to install. I think that's anticipated for the end of sometime this fall to start out there construction and have a meeting with Aqua and
questions of Kelly. Thank you. Marcia.
Nothing.
Rosie.
Nothing.
I think if there's anything I'm going to tell you about. Thanks for the moment. Walt?
Nothing.
Nicole?
Nothing.
No press. Anything from the audience? Okay, then we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.